550 KMAN.
And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. My name is Brandon Peoples, and pleased to be joined here today by Kansas State University President Richard Myers, who joins us on the program. President Myers, thanks for coming out.
Brandon, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so glad to have you in here. We have a lot to get to here today, and we'll, by all means, anyone who wants to give us a call here can certainly do that. We'll have the phone lines open at 537-1350. We're about ready to start the spring semester. How would you say things are looking here as far? I know the enrollment numbers won't be out yet, but as far as the spring, what are you anticipating here?
Well, I think we're ready to go. It starts actually a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, because Monday's a holiday. So January 22nd has been a long break for everybody. So I'm sure they're going to come back refreshed and ready to go. And you're right, it's too early to know about the spring enrollment numbers. Traditionally, spring is always less than fall. There's always a dip there because, among other things, we graduated a bunch of folks at the December graduation ceremony. So they won't be coming back. But we'll have to wait and see. I think we anticipate a good semester. While that's going on, there are going to be a lot of reorganizational efforts in trying to help with enrollment and student success. So there's a lot of things going on the administrative side and with our deans and so forth and department heads on how we're going to attract students going forward.
Well, as far as, we're kind of in the middle of a federal government shutdown here at this point, and I'm curious if that is going to have any effect on students, getting tuition, financial aid. What's the story on that?
I'd say for those that are on some sort of financial aid, that will not be impacted. K-State annually, I think, supports students to the tune of about $248 million in aid. That's not going to change. There will be no impact there. But the longer it goes on, then it starts to cut into those folks doing research because there's a lot of faculty, staff, students, graduate students that receive funding from these research grants. And the longer it goes on, the more problematic that can become. Right now, near-term, short-term, not much of an impact. But it doesn't have to go on very long for there to be an impact. And, of course, there are no grants being awarded right now with new money because there isn't new money. And there could be a ripple effect of that. And that does affect people's livelihoods, people that have applied for grants or are maybe even been approved for grants, but the money hasn't been dispersed yet. So how they're going to get funded, how their graduate assistants are going to get funded and so forth and staff is could be problematic. But right now, we're okay.
Well, and I know one of the areas we talked about recently here was with NBAF. And as I understand, they're fully funded here as far as construction goes, but they've also been hit by the furloughs a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll slow down some of the – it has to slow down some of the work, and not the construction work, but the work to bring NBAF online and all the work that has to go on before actually the doors of NBAF open. So, yes, like every federal agency, now they may get some folks that because of national security concerns will continue, but – no, I'm sure that's slowed down, and it will, again, if this is a shorter-term shutdown, in other words, ends the next week or so, then probably not a big impact. If it keeps going, it's huge impact. And not to minimize the already big impact on those federal employees that didn't get a paycheck the last pay period. Having worked in Washington for many years, that is devastating to many families, just devastating.
Well, staying on the topic of NBAF here, that we keep seeing the progress going on over there. Looks like it's moving right along, and a lot of work going to be happening indoors this year.
Right. Hope those doors, they talk about opening in 2020. Right now it's scheduled to open under the ownership of USDA, the Department of Agriculture, but Homeland Security will still play a role. We're, as you can see along Kimball Avenue, as people when they drive along Kimball Avenue can see, phase two of our office park has opened there last fall. That's going to house a lot of businesses that will be involved in things that are happening at NBAF. And they're already looking at a phase three of that office park. Can't say when that's going to go up. We've got to get phase two rented out. But we'll get there. And it won't be all that long because there is going to be real demand for companies, both national and international, to come to Manhattan and be part of what NBAF is going to be doing, which is trying to find solutions to some of the world's worse diseases.
In terms of that whole project here, I'm new to Manhattan. I've been here a couple months here and gotten to kind of just see how this is really changing the landscape of that part of the university campus and the whole corridor. What do you anticipate this, what we're going to see here over the next decade with that and all the growth that's going to happen out there?
Well, they forecast thousands of jobs, and the exact number I can't tell you, but I think it's somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 jobs that this is likely to spin off over the next decade and a half. A lot of revenue, a lot of tax revenue, so forth, and it's going to bring in a lot of world-class scientists that will combine with the researchers and scientists that we have here at Kansas State and provide great experiences for our faculty, our staff, and our students who will participate in all that in trying to make this world and our food system safer, our agricultural economy safer and more immune to disease and the kind of economic impacts that can have. So this is There was the former Speaker of the House, when Kansas actually won the NBAF against other states that wanted it as well, when we actually said Kansas is going to host it and it's going to be on our university property, the Speaker said, this is going to mean more to Kansas than the opening of the railroad in Kansas. I don't know if that's true. It's a bold statement, but it's going to be a big deal. And not just for Manhattan, but for the whole animal health corridor that has been defined from Manhattan to Columbia, Missouri, goes through Kansas City. There's going to be a lot of work around human health. So KU Med Center and so forth will be involved because these zoonotic diseases that pass between animals and humans, a lot of the worst human diseases start first in animals and then migrate to humans. Ebola is a good example of that. There'll be others. So there's going to be enough to do for all of us, and we're going to be on the leading edge of trying to protect people.
Well, and as you know, the USDA is on the short list to relocate its offices from Washington, possibly to Manhattan. I know Sonny Perdue, the Ag Secretary, was here in November. He's been here a few times. What do you see as Manhattan's? Are you optimistic about Manhattan's chances here with that?
Well, I am, we were somebody coined the phrase that. Manhattan is a Silicon Valley of bioagri defense. These other USDA offices, we have a very attractive offer into USDA for that. Whether we get it or not, I don't know. We already have some other USDA facilities here in Manhattan. This would add to that. I think our chances are good. We put together a very good proposal that has a great schedule and low cost. And we'll see what they decide to do. A lot of people would like to have those offices in their communities as well, but it fits really well with what we're doing here. And I think with NBAF and all the other research we have going on and across the university, vet medicine, the College of Agriculture, and other departments in arts and sciences and so forth, just across the campus, that we truly are the Silicon Valley of bioagri defense. And that's defense against natural pathogens and those that might be introduced by folks wishing us ill, otherwise some sort of terror event. So we've been thinking about this since the last century, since the 1990s here at Kansas State University, and I think we have a leading position on that.
Well, again, we're speaking with President Richard Myers here from Kansas State University. Recruitment of students is such a competitive thing here at the college and four-year institution level. And I imagine that would be one aspect that would really help a long way here with recruiting. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about just how competitive it is right now.
Well, it is competitive, and what colleges and universities have seen across the country is enrollment's going down. And so one of the things we have to do here at Kansas State, where primarily we've been recruiting in-state students, 80% of our students are in-state. The population of in-state students that want to go on to college has been decreasing, not because there are less students, but because they just don't go on to higher education, either in community colleges or in the state universities. So we've got to still focus in-state primarily, but we have to go out of state too. And so when we've done that, we've been successful. And so we're gonna double down on that. We want to increase our out-of-state enrollment by a few percentage points And we think we can do that. There are a lot of attractive places where students in those populations, we think we can attract them to here, to Manhattan, Kansas, to Kansas State University, and the curriculum that we have to offer. So we're working that very, very hard. We're refining our messaging for those out-of-state students. Our in-state messaging is pretty good. In fact, very good. We're the school of choice for Kansas high school seniors. But out of state, we have to refine that messaging so people understand what Kansas State is really all about.
And when you look to draw in from out of state, you're not just talking about border states here, but pretty much all over, I would imagine.
Well, there'll be pockets all over, but border states make sense too. So we all recruit fairly heavily from North Texas, from the Houston area, from Denver, Missouri as well. But there'll be pockets in Illinois where we can recruit. The data tells us that the state of Ohio can't provide engineering curriculum for all the folks in Ohio that want to pursue an engineering degree. What a wonderful place to come. We have a great engineering school here, great facilities, great faculty, great curriculum. So we might target, you know, specific spots around the country, but it'll be the closer states for the most part. But we also have been somewhat fortunate in California to attract people. So where we're attracting them now, where we think there are pockets of populations that could benefit from our curriculum, we're going to go after it.
All right. We got our first caller here on the line. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on In Focus with President Richard Myers.
Good morning. Hey, first, President, I want to thank you for your service to our country and then continuing to serve our community and Kansas State. Appreciate that.
Thank you. A pleasure.
You bet. Hey, question. You were talking about, you know, decreased enrollment everywhere from community colleges, just do well in higher education. I have my opinions. I think that's due to the, you know, the exponential rise in costs in higher education and student loan debts and how that all kind of is coupled together. I'd be curious, and I know you've got a president's hat to wear for the university, but I'd be curious of your personal view on kind of what's driving that. If it's across the board, then it's not a Kansas State problem. Now, you still have to deal with it, but I'd be curious as to your input and your ideas on what's driving that decrease in enrollment. And once again, appreciate what you do, appreciate your leadership, and thank you so much.
Well, that's a great question, and let me start by saying that part of the issue here in Kansas is, you're right, it's not so much the cost of education has gone up, it's that the burden is shifting in Kansas from the state bearing a share of that burden to more of the burden being passed on to the students and their families. So it's the cost per student has gone up less than 1% a year, the actual cost of running the university and putting students through has gone up less than the inflationary cost, but the burden has shifted, and that's a problem, and a lot of that's due to the decrease in state funding over the last 10 years. It's around $85 million to all the regent universities. It's just been cut out of the budget in the last 10 years, partially put back last year. So we got a little bit back, not much, but a little bit back, and every bit helps, I'll say that. And then you have to be, you know, you have to guarantee student success. We do a great job at K-State. Our success statistics, our placement statistics, our debt are some of the best in the best in the state, actually. And we're a relative bargain. If you look at our total, our tuition, room and board, our out-of-state tuition and room and board is less than, for instance, in-state tuition if you live in Illinois. So we are a bargain. We've got to keep working that. That's why last year when proposed tuition increases were taken to the Board of Regents, we held our request to 1%. We had a lot of people saying, you're not going to be able to make it at 1%. You need more revenue than that. And we're trying to make sure that here at this land-grant institution that we can provide access to anybody who's capable and wants to come to Kansas State University. So we have to make up for that in scholarships. Thankfully, we have a lot of donors that value student scholarships and their experience here. So they've put millions of dollars into our scholarship program. Like I mentioned before, we spend, I think, $248 million a year on financial aid and scholarships for our students. But I think another thing driving it, your basic question was why they aren't coming. I think with low unemployment around the country, I think some folks, you know, they can find decent paying jobs right out of high school, and maybe they'll do that for a while, and maybe we'll get them a little bit older age. Then there's another thing that's going on across the country, and that is there are some that question the value of higher education. For those that question that, I think what they need to do is go do their own research, and it's really pretty clear that the in age that we're going into with the rise of artificial intelligence and other things and robotics and so forth, that if you don't have a college education, you're not going to earn a decent salary, the kind of salary you want to have, compensation you want to have to raise a family. There's research that's pretty well indicating that over the last 50 years, those without a college education, that their wages in real terms, economic real terms, in other words, beating inflation, have actually stayed pretty level, while those with a college education, their real wages have increased. So in the future, it's only going to be more true. So I think higher education is more relevant than it's ever been. We've got a, if you will, quote, AI proof, to borrow a title from a book, AI proof our population, our young folks, and make sure that they can thrive in this new technology, this new age of new technology that we're headed into. So there are lots of reasons. It's a complicated question. I guarantee you one thing. If you come to K-State, you're getting a pretty good bargain when it comes to tuition and those sorts of things. And we will our student success metrics are as good as anybody and better than most in the state of Kansas, and we compare well nationally, and we want to make those better. We can improve, and we want to make those better, and we're working on it very hard.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more from President Richard Myers, Kansas State University, when we return on In Focus.